The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Sound of Merseyside and John Gibbons. Morning, Gibbo.
Morning.
And Colour, our band today, the lads from Colour. Nice to see you. How are you?
Very good, thank
Introduce
you.
Yourselves. We've got James and Connor. Nice. Great to see you. Do you know these boys before?
Yeah, for quite a while, actually. I used to put a night on at the Dovedale Towers, Dovedale Social. The guys played that a few years ago and then sort of been following them ever since. So... yeah, good to have them on, and I know they're doing really well, but they'll tell you about that themselves.
Okay, give us a bit of background on Colour then.
Colour's been going for 5 years now.
About five, mate.
Something like that. And we're based out of a studio in Neston, and yeah, the sound is sort of, we're calling it micro-prog. It's like...
What? Well, micro-prog?
Yeah. Well, you know how prog sort of sprung out of Sergeant Pepper's.
Connor just nodded, like, yeah, like James knows what he's on about, but no one else does.
Exactly. How
Go
it
on.
Is.
It's like, well, you know how prog sort of sprung out of Sergeant Pepper's and, that, and those sort of songs, and then went into full concept albums.
I'm nodding, but I've, I have no idea where you are. Go on.
Well, it's really just a comment that we're sort of similar to that sort of stuff, but the songs are smaller, so we just call it micro prog.
Right,
they're not 17 minutes.
That's right. That's exactly it. It's musical. It's experimental, but it's still sort of, you know, straight down the line.
It's
pop.
Experimental.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Gibbo?
I'm trying new sounds, trying new things, kind of, you know. Pushing boundaries, that sort
it's
of
not
thing.
New Age Radiohead, is it? We were just discussing this off Radiohead at Glastonbury.
No. Well, you're going to hear it now.
We are. We're going to play a song in a moment or two. And actually, you were just saying then Snow Patrol were playing, and one of their producers has been involved in yourselves as well.
That's right, yeah. Dan Swift, his name is, and he came up to our studio and guest mixed on the EP that Slow is the first release of.
Right,
and he was involved in their first album, and Kasabian, I believe, as well, something to do with them, and Aqualung. Do you remember Aqualung with the "Strange and You're Beautiful"? Remember that? No.
Beautifully sung.
It was a nice rendition. Right,
thanks very much. I'll keep my job.
But he's been involved in all those as well.
Yeah,
and so how on earth did you get to work alongside him?
Yeah, he saw us play at the Great Escape, didn't he?
Yeah, it's like a big introducing festival down in Brighton.
Mm.
We were playing in a dank corner of it somewhere, and he just happened to walk in, and along with a few other people, and he was like, "I want to work with you," and it started out pro bono, and then it went from there, basically.
Okie doke. Right, let's just quickly reflect on Glastonbury before we take a break and hear your song. What did you enjoy most out of Glastonbury? You obviously didn't go. You watched it on the telly.
Yeah, I watched it on the telly.
What were your highlights, Gibbo?
It was a nice way to do it. I loved the XX. I thought they were brilliant. I loved the band. I really liked Lorde. I was kind of aware of Lorde a little bit. Watched her. I thought she was absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, I think she's a new album's just gone to number one. I think she's going to be a big, like, even huge, bigger star than she is. Great. And then Foo Fighters on Saturday night, we were just talking about it. Great show to just sit back and have a drink and watch him.
Yeah. To be an ultimate front man.
Yeah, yeah.
How
yeah.
does he sing with chewing gum in his mouth?
I mean, addicted to the roof.
It's an amazing thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. It is very, very good. I mean, it's just, it's good as a, like a, this is how it's done type situation. You can sit and research by how act on stage by watching some Dave Grohl. You know, because he's got the audience in the palm of his hand the whole time. Goes between songs very smoothly. It's very tight. You know, he's got a nice necklace.
It's a great lesson, isn't it, in being the ultimate.
Exactly.
I think as well, when you do something like Glastonbury, you obviously got to be aware that half the people are going to be huge, well, big fans of you if you're headlining, and the other half are just going to go to maybe know a couple of songs. And I think anyone would have enjoyed that, whether you were a huge Foo Fighters fan or whether you just kind of knew a couple of the singles.
That's a really good point, actually, because... Like when they go to their own concerts,
it's
only their fans that go. But when it's a festival, you've got people that just are stuck there because they can't get past the.
Yeah, they can't move, can they?
Exactly.
We're going to have to enjoy the Foo Fighters now. They're on for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Do you try and just sort of take something out of other bands when you're watching them do live performances?
Strangely, say that because we had a whole session in practice last night. Instead of practicing, we sort of downed tools and was like. We need to. We want to make the live show more of a show, more like, you know, continuous, smoother.
Right.
Not scripted, but like, you know, just a little bit more
Seamless.
Yeah,
feel like it's an act from start to end.
We just stuck on Foo Fighters, and we also stuck on Phoenix, who were like an electronic act,
right?
And then we started going started getting a bit big for our boots because we started looking at all the lighting. Was like, oh yeah, we need a strobe light as well. All of that.
We need 50 roadies and a.
suddenly, it's a huge shirt. But no, that's interesting that you guys have done that. And I know with bands I've been involved with, a really good thing that I like to do is that as a band, go and watch another band like all together. So instead of doing it individually and then going, oh, I saw this great band and trying to describe it, kind of all going together and then like having a bit of a chat after and say, well, what did you like about kind of what they did and what did you think was kind of, you know, a bit lame, but I think it's good to do that as a band and kind of all kind of watch something and see what you can take and see what you can
They all offer something different, don't they? If you'd watched Liam Gallagher the other day, fascination was, and I'm not a massive fan of his music, but it's just him, isn't it?
Yeah,
so like he holds the entirety of the act, doesn't he, for
definitely
however long it is. And then I was watching Ed Sheeran and I got a little bit bored of it, and I sort of thought, and that's not because of his music, but I just thought the act wasn't quite as compelling as a Liam Gallagher or a Foo Fighters.
I totally agree.
And that isn't about the music. That was just, I just sort of thought, that, and that's a personal thing.
Yeah,
no, I agree, honestly.
There's certain things that hold your attention, isn't there, that you can go, wow.
You've got to have that bit of danger, and Liam Gallagher always goes on about, it's not just the music, and it's not just the like the lyrical content or whatever. You've got to have that element of danger, of like not going by the rules and stuff like that. And he obviously did that well enough for Oasis, because you get extra publicity from it, you know. You get people looking up to you and saying, oh, I want to act like him, stuff like that, you know, not always for the better, but I mean, I think it completely, like, it's completely cements his place as like a rock legend.
Right, we're going to play a track from you guys in a moment or two. What are the two of you doing in the band then? How does this break itself up?
Well, I'm the drummer.
Right.
I play the drums.
So Connor's drummer, James is?
Lead singer.
So it's literally just the two of you? Or are we missing some people?
We are missing two others. Yeah.
Ah, right. I was going to say.
There's two other guys, Scott, who plays guitar, and Liam, who plays bass, and they are at work at the moment. They're more over the crew area than Liverpool, and Neston is sort of nicely nestled in between. And, they couldn't make it this morning, but we could.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Sound of Merseyside, Colour of the band we've got in this week. Two of the lads from Colour anyway, James and Connor, and also Gibbo as always. Now, Gibbo, you've heard the lads' music before.
Yeah. Yeah, as I say, a few years ago, I put them on when I had a night in South Liverpool, Dovedale Social. It was a brilliant show. It was great because it was they were one of the most memorable bands in terms of kind of, you know, the projection and kind of what they were doing. I think you had some lights
did,
then.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of quite nice for the woke everyone up anyway. But good fun. But it's good to see them, you know, playing out at the moment. They've got a gig next Friday, which I'm sure they'll talk about as well. But I think you're going to play a song, and I think people will enjoy.
Yes, this is your first single, isn't it? Slow.
It's the first single off the upcoming EP, which is our second. So it's called Slow, and the EP is Famous Boy Making Things.
Right, what's it about? Anything?
Slow. It's a bit. It's about loneliness. It's about like struggling with, like, you know, having something to do with yourself. You know, in between. If it was written when I was in between jobs, basically, and it's more like us trying to experiment musically. It's kind of like lots of different things going on. Well, you're here. It's a bit of a rabble.
This is Colour and Slow.
I'm more incomplete. I'm breaking a machine.
Slow, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I mean, there's some crazy bits in that
song.
I was saying
to the lads, I'm trying to follow the time signatures. I was getting 6/8. There's verbing in 6/8, and then I lost it a couple of times. It must be like a challenge to drummer
and sing it. Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Connor sings on it as well.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, just because you haven't got enough to do in terms of keeping everything.
James likes to keep me busy, you know.
There's some really
overworked.
Sort of,
overworked and underpaid.
There's some interesting sort of junctures where it just goes into either drums or is it keyboard at one stage near the end of the song where
all of a sudden
it's, but you're not expecting them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the nature of microprog. It's sort of like you go.
I know what microprog is now.
It's like
when they're being written, they're often being written in different musical chunks. And sometimes you're just like, oh, I'll just put that there. And then, oh, just put that there. As long as it's in the same key, or even if it's not, you know, I'll just put it in anyway, you know, and just try and keep the listener, you know, entertained. As long as, you know, I just love pop choruses. You know, I'm all about the Beatles. And as long as there's something that you can sing along to, the listener is usually, you know, able to deal with stuff that is musically kind of weird. In terms of time signatures, you know, it's always a straight 4/4 beat, and that's what we mean by experimenting with music, but while keeping the listener liking it, and you can still tap along to it, you know, as long as that.
Well, you do. It's got that that sound behind it. There is a consistent, isn't there, throughout it all, despite the fact you're going down all these different routes with some of the music. Do you say you're singing on some of that?
Yeah.
Drumming and singing
in 6/8.
In fact,
the bit where you sing is actually not really time signatureable, is it? Because
there's a couple of times I lost it.
Just explain that to the layman, Jameson. What do you mean by that?
A time signature is a way of expressing what a beat is and how often it repeats and how many beats that come in a bar. This sounds like I know exactly what I'm talking about.
So 99% of pop songs are in 4/4, so it's just four beats in a bar, so you can just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you'll hear, once you start doing it, you'll hear the start of each bar. You will hear it,
exactly,
even though you think you won't necessarily.
But we're fond of going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and it's still remarkably easy to write like melodies to and lyrics because it's still divisible by two. So I'm not working this out as I'm writing it. It's just, it comes out naturally.
Does it make it harder, Gibbo?
It does make it harder, yeah.
No, well, for the whole band? Or?
Yeah. Because you're so used to playing in a certain way, and I think it's just adapting your kind of your mindset and you kind of, yeah, you... your mind to play in a different way and think in a slightly different way.
Exactly. But as soon as you get your mind round the melody and where it's supposed to sit, it becomes second nature. And I think, like, for example, in All You Need Is Love, the verse for that is, I think, in 6/8,
yeah.
Is it, as
yeah.
well?
Which
is, where
yeah.
it goes, and it restarts earlier than it should. And if the Beatles did it, and they're... You know, everyone knows them and everyone likes them, so...
Why can't the lads from Colour do it? Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Unique. It sounds great. Well done. Absolutely brilliant stuff.
Thank you.
So that's your first single. You're hoping to have a second single, Minus, out soon?
Soonish, or... yeah. We're getting into a certain form of deal with a certain company at the moment, which hopefully should project us a bit further forward. And give us a team to work a single properly, and the next single after Slow from the EP is going to be called Minus, and we're hoping to get that out within a month or two max.
Right, and a quickie, where are you playing soon if people want to come and watch you?
We are playing at Kitchen Street on Friday the 7th of July, which is a week today, I believe.
Yeah, just to give a big push on that, it's a fundraiser for the Whitechapel Centre, which does a huge amount for homeless people here in Liverpool, which is obviously a growing issue, and they're working really hard to make sure that the people kind of have got a bed. So that's a big fundraiser for that on the Friday night. You guys are headlining, aren't you?
We are, along with Weekend Wars, Salt the Snail, the Dead Stars, and Delia. Is that how you say that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Delia. So Kitchen Street next Friday night.
24 Kitchen Street next Friday. Yeah.
Steve Hoddesall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.